Thank you, Dwight, and thank all of you for being here this morning. We are so thankful that all of you have come. It is a special day when we can gather together and pay tribute to our Lord, and at the same time pay tribute to mothers, and it is Mother's Day. And to all of you this morning, we say Happy Mother's Day. I join with Adam in expressing my appreciation for all of you being here and reiterating what he said. You will not get to the restaurant at 11:30. We do thank you for coming. You know, we have a lot of great mothers in this church. And Dale and I would like to recognize one mother here this morning that we believe is worthy of honor and praise, and her children rise up and call her blessed. This lady has been a mother for a long, long time. She has reared her children in the way of God. She has been loyally committed to her family and has served the Lord for some 94 years, soon to be 95. And we'd like to pin her corsage on her this morning, Miss Margaret Pearson. And Dale, I'll let you do the honors here, if you will. Margaret, here she is. Thank you, Margaret. She is a dear, dear lady, and one of my favorite people. She is a precious, precious lady, a lady. And we're happy to be able to do this morning. You know, that's a long time, and to be able to rear your children, and I can tell you for sure that no gift your mother, you can give to your mother will ever equal her gift of life to you. And that's great. Mother's Day is the most widely observed holiday in America, according to 96% of the people in America. There are more than 82 million mothers in America. Think about it. AT&T claims that 122 million long-distance calls will be made to mother on Mother's Day. Now, that's amazing to me, isn't it? How many of you fathers ever get a call? 20% of all flowers that are given in any year, consider this, 20% of all flowers that are given in any year are given on Mother's Day. There is an interesting fact or facts about mothers. Mother, the woman who holds a record for having the most children, think about this one, the highest officially recorded number of children born to any one mother. Anybody have any idea how many that might be? 69. She went to an early grave. No. 69. By natural birth, she bore 16 pair of twins, 7 sets of triplets, and 4 sets of quadruplets. Now, that's amazing. One day, a man spotted a lamp by the roadside. He picked it up. He rubbed it vigorously, and a genie appeared. And the genie said, "I'll grant you your fondest wish." The man thought for a moment, and then he said, I want a spectacular job, a job that no man has ever succeeded at or has ever attempted to do. And poof, the genie said, "You are a housewife and mother." Did you know if 600 college students were asked to write down the most beautiful word in the English language, and 422 of them wrote down the word mother. It is a precious word, isn't it? When you really stop and think about it, many of you no doubt have precious memories of your own mother. This morning I do of mine. And even though she died when I was a young man, I still have precious memories in my mind that I will never, ever forget of her. What my mother taught me, I always like to share this every year because it is so true. My mother taught me to appreciate a job well done. For she said, if you're going to kill each other, do it outside. I just finished cleaning the house. My mother taught me religion. You better pray that that will come out of the carpet. My mother taught me about time travel. For she said, if you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you into the middle of next week. My mother taught me foresight. All of you can relate to this. Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. My mother taught me irony. Keep laughing, and I'll give you something to laugh about or cry about. My mother taught me about the science of osmosis. She said, shut your mouth and eat your supper. We all have memories of Mom. Unfortunately, in our world today, not everybody has been blessed with the privilege of having a Christian mother. And that's such a tragedy when you stop and think about it. You know, in the Old Testament, in the book of Proverbs, the 31st chapter, King Lemuel, the one that we call Solomon, who wrote under that name as well, talks about that virtuous woman. He calls her a woman that is trustworthy in verse 11. He calls her one as one who was obviously one who had strong convictions in life. She was one who was soft and merciful. She was one who was optimistic in verse 21. She was one of whom Solomon said she was very strong and very dignified, verse 22 and verse 23. I saw a funny sign on a door one time that said, your mother doesn't work here. Clean up your own mess. This woman was industrious, however. She worked hard, according to verse 13, verse 16, verse 24, and verse 27. And for all these things, she had the unending praise of her family. Sometimes I wonder, do we take her for granted in life? Do we? We take sometimes those who bring us into this world for granted every day. The woman who makes a good home is not just one who cooks and cleans at the house. This woman was an individual who saw the privilege, and it was a privilege and an honor to care for her children and for her family. And she understood that there was a joy in serving those that you love. You see what it really means to be a mother and what motherhood is all about? It is not a second-rate choice, but it is a first-rate choice by any woman who makes that decision to be a mother and to honor God with her life. I want to talk to you this morning a little bit about motherhood and some things that I hope that you'll remember. First of all, I would tell you that being a mom is not the easiest job in the world. And I can tell you any mother in this audience this morning could truthfully say that. Sometimes it becomes extremely frustrating in life to be a mother. It is. They are called upon so often to do so much. And again, sometimes we take them for granted. Did you know that more than one half of mothers with children under 18 work in the home? Think about that. 7 out of 10 of these work full time outside of the home. There was a man by the name of Samuel Greenwater one time. Who wrote a book entitled The Call to Motherhood. And he said in this book, and I want to quote this, he said, the call to motherhood is being endangered today by many subversive forces in our world. And they are, first of all, the ungrateful husband You know, I can't think of anything more despicable in the sight of Almighty God than a husband who is ungrateful for his wife. A husband who does not love and care for the one that he married and the one who is the mother of his own children. Ungrateful husbands. But then there's a second thing that becomes a subversive force in our world, and that is economic necessity for the woman to work outside of the home and not be able to have that time to spend with her children and perhaps to nurture them and guide them as God really wants them to do. And then thirdly, there is that subversive force that we call professional satisfaction. There are many in the world today that do not have to work outside the home, but because of a personal satisfaction that it gives them, they determine to be away from their family. Mom, what is the description? How do you describe a mother? A mother is one that Solomon says here who makes a good home. She is a woman who guides her children in the way of God. She is a woman who teaches her children the value of life, and she sets for them a value system that is second to none. She is one who guides the home. I think it was Abraham Lincoln who once said that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. She has to juggle so much in life, her family, her job, and her friends. She does. No wonder at the end of the day she says to herself, "Is the day over yet? Is it?" We should all, secondly, there's a second thought that I want you to know this morning. We should all appreciate the value of motherhood. Appreciate the value of motherhood. Did you know that a mother will love you when no one else will? If you remember when Jesus died upon the cross, I don't know where Joseph was, but I know where Mary was, for Mary was at the very foot of her son. She was at the cross when Jesus was dying and giving his life for all of humankind. And how thankful and grateful we are that she was. And our Lord was concerned about her as well. The mother, she will love you. She will love you when no one else does. Someone said, "Don't aim to be an earthly saint with eyes fixed on a star. Just try to be the fellow that your mother thinks you are." In the book of Exodus 20 and verse 12, and also in the book of Leviticus 19 and verse 3, Moses recorded these words. Next slide, Charles. "Honor thy father and thy mother." Now you would think that would be something that would just come natural for all of us. Why in the world would you have to tell someone to honor their mother or their father? You would think it would be inherent within us. When we think about all the sacrifices that they have made and all that they have done for us, and yet Moses, by the will of God, had to command the children of Israel to honor their father and their mother, and it was a part of the Decalogue, it was a part of the Ten Commandments, and it was something that Christ even taught in his own ministry. Her teaching was not to be abandoned, for in Proverbs 1 and verse 8, Solomon said, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." She is not to be despised or to be mocked or to be scorned. For Proverbs, the 15th chapter and verse 20 says, "A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother." And then in Proverbs 17 and verse 25, "A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bare him." For Proverbs 23 and verse 22 says, "Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old." For some reason or another, there are a lot of folks in the world today that believe that you honor your mother while you are growing up. But when your mother becomes aged or when your mother gets up in years, then you have the right to not honor her anymore. Not so. The Bible teaches that the mother should always be one who is worthy of honor and respect, regardless of her age or regardless of yours. No one can love a child like a mother. Not a father, not a babysitter. There are a lot of young mothers who allow someone else to rear their children. The daycare, and I understand daycare, and I think it's important. Babysitters are important. But the awesome responsibility rests with those who are mothers. You see, God compares His love for us with that of a mother. According to the book of Isaiah, chapter 49, and verse 15. Mothers can communicate self-worth in a way that no one else can. A mother can encourage you and motivate you and stimulate you to greater heights and to success with her words. More and more children are being born to unmarried women in our world, and it's a great tragedy, folks. Did you know that 14% of new mothers in America, are single? A mother of three said one time, "I'm not ready for marriage yet, but I love children and wanted to have them." You know, it's a shame that we do not follow the biblical pattern of God when it comes to rearing a family. And I understand that children, girls, young men make mistakes. But I'm telling you, folks, it is something that we all need to be teaching our children over and over again. I know a lot of times people say, "Well, my children will just learn it." No, they won't. If they are not taught, and if they do not hear, and they do not see it modeled before them, they will not learn it. Because the world is trying to teach something that is counter to what you and to what God is trying to teach them. There's another thing you need to know about motherhood. Mothers are to love their children. Even though no one can love a child like his mother, some mothers need to be taught to love their children. Now, I mentioned that a moment ago, but there's a passage found in the book of Titus 2 and verse 4 that I want to call special attention to this morning. Paul writes to Titus and he says that they may teach the young women to be sober, that is to be serious minded, and to love their husbands and love their children. We have to teach our young ladies as we teach our young men how to be godly fathers and how to be godly husbands. We have to teach those young women how to be a godly mother and how to be a godly wife. Bill Cosby once said, "My children love my mother, and I tell my children that this is not the same woman that I grew up with, but that this is an old woman trying to get into heaven now." You might be able to relate to that, folks. What does a mother's love do? Did you know love is a fuel for life? It is. When life gets rough, love gives strength. When life gets tough, love gives power. When life lets you down, it is the love of a mother that gives you encouragement. And when life seems empty and void, it is the love of a mother that gives life meaning. And when it seems mundane and worthless, it is the love of a mother that gives it enthusiasm. And when life seems sad and melancholy, it is the love of a mother who gives joy and vibrance to her children. And when life gets confusing, and it often gets confusing, it is the love of a mother that gives it clarity. Mothers are to love their children. But fourthly, mothers are to teach their children about God and the Bible. Let me just ask you this morning, as a mother, do you talk to your children about God? Do you ever really study with them? Do you ever share lessons of great value and worth with your children? I learned a long time ago that children will not get it in Bible class. That's not going to take the place of what you give them at home. Now, I know a lot of people that say, well, I send my children to Bible class, and I send them to worship, and I try to get them involved in different aspects of the work of the church, folks. Let me tell you something. All the efforts of someone else to teach and train your children and to guide them will not be enough. We need mothers and fathers who will teach their children. Do you realize that the first perception of right and wrong is taught by mother? It is true. And I can tell you that firsthand. I love my father very much, and I had a great deal of respect for him. But I'm going to tell you something. Some of the great values that I learned early on in my life were values that I learned at the knee of my mother. And lessons I will never, ever forget. In Titus 2, again, verse 4 and 5, the Bible says that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, to be chaste, to be homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands. Now listen to the last part of this, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Let me say it again, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Why do you teach your children? Why do you teach them to love their husbands? Why do you teach them to love their children and to be homemakers and to be discreet and to be obedient? That the word of God will not be blasphemed. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, Paul told Timothy, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I want you to notice, Timothy, Paul makes this notation here, that you learn the word of God from your mother and your grandmother, Lois and Eunice, from a child. Spiritual giants do not occur, folks, by accident. They are taught. And I can tell you, I just believe and I know from what some mothers in this congregation have said to me, that there are those here today who are praying that their children will obey the gospel and be baptized, and some who need to recommit themselves unto God. You know, to be a great mother, there are several things that you must do. You must marry the right man. If you marry the wrong man, you will have consequences to live with the rest of your life. Marry the right man. Obey the gospel. Train your children to love God above everything else in this world. The most important lesson you could ever leave your children, the greatest legacy that could ever be said about you, is that you taught your children about God. And honor your parents. Enjoy your Christianity. and request wisdom from God. He is the one who gives us wisdom to teach and train our children. Happy Mother's Day. May God help us to be the right kind of example for our children. And when we set the right kind of example, our children will rise up and they will call you blessed. Sometimes we fail in our attempts to be the kind of person that God really wants us to be. Mothers fail, fathers fail. We all do. But we need to ask God to help us set the right example. Let Him help you set the right example. For He says, "He that would come to Me, I will in no wise cast out." John chapter 6. Now some of you maybe this morning are not Christians, and I would ask you, would you obey the gospel of Christ today and set the right example before your children? You want your children to become Christians. I can tell you what you model before your children speaks so much louder than what you will ever say or verbalize in your life. It is true. You see, the future of your children are in your hands. What are you doing to shape their future? Are you helping to lead them to Jesus? Are you? I know one thing. It's not an easy thing to be a mother, and I'm not saying it is. But I'm telling you, the right thing is to guide our children and to lead them in the way of God. You know, I have been with so many people through the years who have suffered the death of their mother. I have been with some whose mother didn't tell them about God, and they had very little to say about the influence of their mother. But on the other hand, I have been with families who truly mourn the passing of their mother because they saw her as a true, genuine, godly matriarch who taught them and instilled within them the value system that they espouse even today. The young mother set her foot on the path of life. "Is the way long?" she asked. And her guide said, "Yes, and the way is hard. And you will be old before you reach the end of it. But the end will be better than the beginning." But the young mother was happy. And she would not believe that anything could be better than these times. So she played with her children and gathered flowers with them along the way and bathed with them in the clear streams and in the sunlight. Life was good, and the young mother cried, "Nothing will ever be lovelier than this." But the night came. And a storm, and the path was dark, and the children shook with fear and were cold. And the mother drew them close and covered them with her mantle, and the children said, "Oh, mother, we're not afraid because you are near, and we know that no harm can come to us." And the mother said, "This is better than the brightness of day. For I have taught my children courage." And the morning came, and there was a hill. And the children climbed and grew weary, and the mother was weary, But at all times she said to the children, little patience. And we're there. So the children climbed, and when they reached the top, they said, we could not have done it without you, Mother. And the mother, when she lay down that night, looked at the stars that grace the heavens and said, why, this is a better day than the last, for my children have learned fortitude in the face of hardness. Yesterday, I gave them courage, but today I have given them strength. And the day came. Strange clouds which darken the whole earth, clouds of war and hate and evil. And the children groped and stumbled. And Mother said, look up, lift your eyes to the light. And the children looked and saw above the clouds an everlasting glory. And it guided them and brought them beyond the darkness. And that night the mother said, this is the best day of all, for I have shown my children God. And the days went on, and the weeks went on, and the years went on, and the mother grew old, and she was little and bent, but her children were tall and strong, and walked with courage. And when the way was hard, they helped their mother. And when the way was rough, they lifted her, for she was light as a feather. And at last they came to a hill. And beyond the hill, they could see a shining road and golden gates that were flung wide. And the mother said, I have reached the end of my journey. And now I know that the end is better than the beginning. For my children can walk alone, and their children after them. And the children said, you will always walk with us, Mother. Even when you've gone through the gates, and they watched her. They watched her as she went alone, and the gates closed after her, and they said, we cannot see her, but she is with us still. A loving mother like ours is more than a memory. She is a living presence. Treasure her. Be thankful for her. The time will come when she will leave. Let us stand and let us sing.